Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.
All right, thanks for tuning in tonight. NHL update. The Leafs have tied it in Montreal. It's 1-1 with 4 minutes left in the second period. Travis Dermott, his first of the season. Anderson scored earlier in the game for the Canadiens. He is now up to 9. 13 minutes left in the third. Bruins and Rangers tied 1-1. Raptors in action this evening, about 5 minutes left in the fourth. They are leading Washington 119-110. Siakam with 24 for the Raptors tonight, and Powell has chipped in with 23. So the Raptors trying to close out that high scoring game in Washington. They're 11-13. The Wizards coming in at 6-15. Oilers tomorrow, 3:30 for the face-off show here on 6:30 Chet. The game will start at 5. I would think they'll go back to Mike Smith in net tomorrow, but we shall see. Don't forget Bob Stauffer as Oilers Now from noon to 2. All right. Well, I'm going to read off some locations. And the person waiting on the line, I think, is going to think this is a pretty interesting list when he hears it, because he's had a pretty interesting football career. Here we go. Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, San Jose, Orlando, Sioux Falls, Edmonton, Calgary, Pittsburgh, San Francisco, Ottawa, Saskatchewan, Toronto, BC, Toronto, BC, and now Edmonton again. He is back as a member of the Edmonton football team. He's had an outstanding CFL career. It is defensive lineman Sean Lemon. Sean, you're on with Reed. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for checking in tonight. What's it like hearing that list and thinking, man, look at all these places I've played in my career?
Oh, yeah. It sounds like a Drake tour list. It's like a Drake concert list. You know what I mean? So I'm just taking in and, you know, have fun. And I've enjoyed all the places that I've been. Just, you know, try to go there with open mind and, you know, produce everywhere you go. That's kind of the name of the game. And I look at it as a good thing, because the more productive you are, the more teams will always want you. Four different teams in the CFL I played for and had two stings there. So I'm just fortunate and blessed, man. And I appreciate the role and the opportunity. And I'm just thankful, man. Just thankful that to be a part of the Edmonton football team.
Well, it's cool to have you back. I got to admit, I was a little surprised when I saw you signed. And I'll ask you some questions about coming back in a few minutes, of course. But I do want to go back to a couple other areas of your career, because you got to play in the Arena Football League, which for me, you know, I've seen it on TV. It seems a little wild and crazy, and I know they've had some ups and downs with that league. And that's, you know, I referenced San Jose, Orlando, and then I think Sioux Falls was in a different indoor football league. How did you like the Arena Football League? Like, was it a huge transformation for you as a lineman, or how would you describe it?
I enjoyed it. It was fun. It was a good opportunity. I took all these challenges and wanted to apply it to my game, and understood that if I'm going to play in this league, I want to be productive in that league, and, you know, try to get after the quarterback the best way I could. It was a time in my life where it was a lot of growth for me. A lot of people don't know this, but when I was playing arena ball, like, I went out and I used two of my game checks and bought myself a laptop. So I bought myself a laptop, and I was making my own highlight tape. So after the games, I would go back to the room and put the CD into the laptop, so it'll show my age a little bit. And then just making my own highlight tapes, cutting it up, trying to find a way to get myself, you know, seen by CFL teams, NFL teams. I would send it out to these teams and just refresh it throughout the day, because I'm like, yo, just never know when this general manager is going to open his email, and I just want mine to be at the top.
I did not know that you made your own highlight tapes. That's well, very determined, first of all, and that's good editing skills. I mean, you got to be good to make a good highlight reel on a laptop.
But yeah, just try to, you know, do whatever I can do to give myself a chance to compete at a high level.
All right. So You're coming back to Edmonton. Tell us about how this came to be. I mean, obviously, really tough with there being no season last year. Tell us why coming back to Green and Gold made sense for you.
Just made sense because I know what I bring to a team as a veteran who's won two Grey Cups, been to three Grey Cups, understand how to win, and know that, you know, it was a spot of need for the Edmonton at the defensive end spot. I just know what I bring to the table. The just production speaks for itself. And I know what type of leader I am. So I just felt like it was a good fit. The team, Edmonton's team, was always one defensive in a way. And I'm in my eyes when I looked at them. And I just felt like I fit that right piece for it.
You're 32 years of age. Tell me how you train and take care of your body at 32 as compared to when you were 22.
It's really still, honestly, not a lot hasn't really changed. And doing a little bit more stretching than before. Just trying to watch what I eat a little bit and, continue to go out and run and not just go to the gym and lift weights at the gym and go home. So get out and run and work on your craft, pass rushing, you know, playing defensive end, playing football is my craft. So I do football workouts. So it's not, you know, I'm not just going to the gym to be a bodybuilder. I'm doing more of like explosion stuff. I'm doing more of, you know, high reps, low rests. It's like the CFL football game. So just try to, you know, use the game and translate it to football.
All right. Sean Lemon joining us tonight on Inside Sports, back with the Double E football team, defensive lineman who's had an outstanding career in the league. I think you're at 70 sacks in your career, so really good totals here. I got to ask you about this, and obviously I'm going to have a little bit of fun with you because I think you are having fun, but it did stir the pot a little bit. You're playing for Calgary. Chris Jones is the coach here. He has a motorbike. And after you did it once, maybe you did it twice, but you guys win. And then you find Jones's motorbike after the game and you and your teammates took a picture posing on the motorbike. Just tell us about deciding to do that. And obviously you knew you were stoking the flames of the rivalry when you're doing something like that.
Well, as you know, a lot of people don't know this, but me and you talk about WWE wrestling a lot. So at that time, I just thought it would be a, you know, good thing to, you know, get into character a little bit, keep the rivalry going, because I know we play this team. This is our 3 hours away from each other. We're going to play them at least once or twice more throughout the season. It was something that we talked about, me, Juwan Simpson, who else was it, Keon Raymond. And we talked about earlier in the week, because he always parks his motorbike right beside the visitor's locker room. And it has his, you know, his name on the tags. And so after we won, you know, we decided to take a photo and just blast it out on social media. And it was just fun from there. Like, those guys, Chris Jones, Coach Jones was their coach in Calgary. They have a great relationship. I still have a great relationship with Coach Jones. You know, we still text and stuff here and there every now and again. So it was all fun and, you know, just building up the rivalry.
Did he ever say anything to you specifically about the picture?
No, we never really brought it up. He never really brought it up. You know, Coach Jones is not really about football. He's not really, you know, too worried about it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you heard from some fans about it. Like, there's a guy here in town named Section O who was, when you signed, he's like posting pictures. He's like, hey, remember this?
Oh, yeah. No, Section O is a beauty. He, when we played you guys in the West Final that year, you know, he had his whole, you know, entourage. What I still remember, like, yesterday, they brought signs and, you know, they were talking trash to us as we would go to the sideline. So it was fun, man. It's all good. It's a good, being a good sport, you know, enjoying the fans. You know, one thing about our league in the CFL, it's a small league, but we have great fans. We always like to interact with those fans. Always like to keep a, you know, friendly relationship with them on social media. So those are the type of things that I enjoy doing. And I think the city of Edmonton is really going to like that about me, because one thing I do is I like to get back in the community and give back.
Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, I personally, I got to admit, as a guy who, you know, wanted the Double E football team to beat Calgary, whether you were on the team or not, when I first saw that, I was like, oh, darn, that's Sean Lemon. But then I realized, you know what? He's showing some personality. And so there's nothing wrong with that as an athlete. So I will say, you know, good for you. And hey, if you want to play the villain while you're here and make other teams mad, I think we're all fine with that, okay?
No, I'm just going to come in and, you know, try to lead by example. You know, try to be the best defensive end I can be for the, you know, Edmonton football team. And, you know, the goal is to get a Grey Cup, and that's what I'm here to help get.
Anything defensively? I mean, look, it's basically a decade for you in the CFL now. Any, like, if you do you sit here and say, wow, there's been like major defensive changes to how, or pardon me, major changes to how defenses operate over the course of the time you've been here, or is kind of the thinking and the scheming kind of the same?
It's all the same. It's football at the end of the day, and I've played in a number of different defenses, as you listed earlier when I first got on the broadcast. So, you know, it is what it is. It's kind of like riding a bike for me. Just go out and, you know, start pedaling. That's all it is. And learn the scheme, learn how to play within the scheme, learn what you can do and what you can't do, and don't hit the quarterbacks in the helmet.
So you're coming in. Elmondo Sewell's going out. Tell me about your relationship with Mondo.
Mondo's like a brother to me. He's my roommate in college. I've known Mondo since he was probably about 17, 18 years old. So, you know, we go back a long ways. He's a really good friend of mine. You know, I kind of knew that, you know, with everything going on, that this was going to be a possibility of a landing spot for myself. And I knew Mondo probably was going to, you know, be headed out the door and headed to Montreal. So, you know, we always talk about stuff like this. And, you know, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him. He still gets to compete at a high level. His production hasn't dropped off. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, you know, in my eyes, and just looking at his resume and his career.
Sean, before I let you go, tell us where you are right now and how you spent your time during 2020. Because for a while, it was hoping you guys were going to be able to play a shortened season, and then it eventually got canceled. So where were you and what did you get up to?
I'm in Virginia right now. I have a property in Orlando, Florida, that I was living in, and I moved to Virginia, so I'm renting that property out down there, and I'm in Virginia a little closer to family this way. So
another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Just in Virginia, you know, spending time and with the family, working out, training, and just trying to stay in shape and trying to stay as safe as possible.
All right. And what'd you think of the Super Bowl? I mean, Tampa Bay's defense was pretty awesome throughout their playoff run. And they got tons of pressure on Mahomes. And I saw after the game, they only actually blitzed five times. They were doing it with four guys and defensive ends like you.
Yeah, they did a great game plan. You know, their game plan was, you know, to run cover two, you know, sink the middle linebacker line in the middle, try to, you know, run the ball to keep Pat Mahomes on the sideline, nickel and dime a certain place. Take shots when you had a chance to. It was a great game plan, and the defensive line, the defense played, you know, probably one of the best defensive performances that I've seen in a Super Bowl. So, yeah, they played a really good, solid game.
Right on. Well, Sean, welcome back to the Double E football team. Look forward to you getting into town. You know, hopefully you guys are able to travel up here pretty soon and camp starts on time and we get some games in Commonwealth and around the country. I know fans are starving for that. Really appreciate your time. All the best.
No problem. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for having me.
That is Sean Lemon. Good player. Great player, not afraid to show a little personality too. I really wanted to ask him about the motorbike picture with Chris Jones's bike when he was playing for Calgary. He was having some fun. Good on him for doing that. Okay, it is 7:19 Inside Sports on Ched. We still have Katrina LeMay Doan coming up. Great speed skater in her day, three-time Olympic medalist, two of them gold. Now the chef de mission for the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. She's going to be doing a Facebook Live tomorrow night that we'll let you know about with several other great Olympians. And I also want to talk to her about how everything has been thrown out of whack for Olympic athletes, the four-year the quadrennial for the Summer Olympics getting pushed back and what might happen for the Winter Olympics, which are supposed to be going on 1 year from now in Beijing. We'll touch on those storylines as well. 7:19 Inside Sports on Chet. All right, good to have you tuning in tonight. Oilers Canadians tomorrow on this very station, 3:30 for the faceoff show. The game will start at 5. Oilers up to 8-7 on the season. Can they beat Montreal? They're 0-2 against them so far. Quickly, earlier on the show, I asked about Magic the Gathering, the card game, which I know exists and has existed for a while, but is apparently still extremely popular. A few people texted in. This person says that I know someone who has a dresser full of cards. My goodness. Hopefully they're not mixing them with their clothes and stuff. This texter says, yes, my kid plays that. It's ridiculous how much cards are worth. And somebody else wrote in. It says, my colleague is a serious Magic the Gathering player. The cards are seriously expensive. He went to Vegas for a tournament 2 years ago. He says he has so many valuable cards that he could put down a down payment on a house. So I guess there are some individual cards that are that good and that powerful to have in your deck that you will people will pay hundreds, thousands, even thousands of dollars for them. Interesting. I'll have to learn more. Maybe we'll do a segment on Magic the Gathering in the summer when we play around a bit. Could be interesting. All right. Oilers, Canadians tomorrow. As I mentioned, now you got Evan Bouchard playing well. Tyson Berrios looked better the last few games. Adam Larson down the right-hand side too. Ethan Bear, who's missed the last few games, but he's another right-handed shot. Dave Tippett, head coach of the team, commenting today on utilizing all those right-handed shots.
Well, we'll just take it day by day and see when Bear gets back, see how it goes. But our group of D has, you know, we're trying to find the right mix there, but I like that they, even when guys have been out and come back in, like Cuckoo came in last night, and, you know, the areas that he can impact was a penalty kill. He had three shot blocks in that penalty kill in the second period that were huge for us. So, you know, our group of D, we said at the start of the year, we've got great depth. We got 9 guys here that we feel like we can use. And when they all get in there, they all try to do the job the best they can. You know, so we'll continue to see if we can find the mix, and that might be game to game on matchups or certain things we're looking at, and how many people we want in certain roles, whether the puck moving or PK or PP stuff. So lots of factors there, and we'll hopefully find the right mix.
All right, that is Dave Tippett. Well, good mix the last few games. Well, mainly goaltending yesterday, but they got the win against Ottawa. Raptors win it 137-115 over the Wizards. 3 Raptors over 20 points tonight. Powell with 28, Siakam with 26, Lowry with 21. Katrina LeMay-Doan, 2-time Olympic gold medalist, multiple World Cup medalist in speed skating, and now working as the chef de mission for the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing. Going to have an interesting conversation with her when we get back to Inside Sports. Early in the third period, Maple Leafs and Canadians tied 1-1. Late in the third period, about 2 minutes to go, Bruins and Rangers tied 2-2. Those are the only two games in the NHL tonight. Oilers at Canadians tomorrow, 3:30 faceoff show here on 6:30 Ched. The game will start at 5. Smith and Koskinen, now the two goalies on the roster after Mike Smith was activated a few days ago, got the win on Monday against the Senators. Koskinen was excellent in the pipes last night. Dave Tippett on that goaltending split.
Well, it's a big factor, and that's when both of our guys were at their best last year. So getting Schmitty back, it just allows them both to be fresh when they play. You know, Koskinen came in last night and gave us a real strong game. And watching the game, you know, lots of talk about shots on goals, but the actual chances for and against were not near as lopsided as what the shots were. Ottawa threw a lot of pucks at the net. We weren't quick enough to retrieve pucks and have more puck possession. But that being said, Ottawa just, they dumped a lot of pucks at the net, but weren't really scoring chances. And the shot totals went up accordingly. But we needed saves at the right time. Koskinen made one. We had a turnover late in the period that he He had a point blank one that he made a great save on. So he came in last night. He gave us a chance to win, and that's all you can ask from your goaltender. If we've got fresh guys going, a fresh guy going every night, hopefully they can do that for us every night.
All right, so that is Dave Tippett, and as you were hearing that clip, the Maple Leafs go ahead. So 2 minutes into the third period, now they lead the Canadiens 2-1. Well, this is pretty cool. You're going to have a chance to see Katrina Lemay-Doan and some other great Olympians on the Team Canada Facebook page tomorrow night. I'll give you some more details here after the interview, but I am pleased to welcome to Inside Sports one of Canada's all-time greats, former speed skater Katrina Lemay-Doan. Katrina, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. Well, a little cold, but I'm doing well. It is February in the prairies, isn't it?
Yes, we had a pretty good winter until the last 10 days or so. So I guess we shouldn't complain. But it's a good day to stay inside and spend time on the internet, right? Which you're going to be. You got a Facebook Live thing coming up tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, not often you get five Olympic champions chatting together. So, you know, sport in this country is a pretty tight-knit community. And with so many things being virtual now, it's even more tight-knit. So, yeah, it's going to be talking with Erica Weeb, Patrick Chan, John Montgomery, and Bruni Surin. So that will be fun.
So many great Canadians. And as you're reading off those names, I'm thinking back to all of their great Olympic moments. Certainly, you know, Bruni Surin on the relay team. And, you know, I've had the chance to interview Erica, and she's awesome. And Montgomery, maybe we remember the beer moment as much as his actual competition. but I think that's so cool you're doing that, because to me, that's a great thing for fans, where it's like, well, like what do Olympians talk about when it's just them? Like, do they talk about, hey, that's cool when you won that medal, or are they just like the rest of us where it's like, oh, hey, how's your family? How's your kids?
Well, you know, what's funny is, like, I'd like to know if everybody actually knows where their medals are, because that's the biggest thing. Everybody thinks, oh, they're probably hanging on a wall. It's like, no, they're stored somewhere, and I have to figure out where. And I'm sure those guys are the same.
So you have three Olympic medals. I hope I'm remembering all of them correctly.
Yep.
That's right. So you're not exactly sure where they are? Like, they're not in a display case or anything?
No, they're somewhere in my house, and there's a few spots they could be. I won't say it just in case it becomes in my house, but you know, not that they're valuable to me, not that they're necessarily valuable, but you might get distracted by all the IKEA furniture.
That's awesome. Well, that's cool. You're doing that tomorrow night. Look forward to seeing that. I'm sure you'll have a lot of fans checking it out. It's great to have you on the show. And man, I mean, what a crazy last year, obviously, and huge impact on the world and on athletes. And I think from an Olympic standpoint, well, I mean, first of all, let's face the obvious. The Summer Olympics didn't happen, and it's mm-hmm. pushed back. So give me some context of how that affects, because everybody, you know, we always hear about the Olympic cycle. Mm-hmm. So what a massive change to that Olympic cycle.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, it's been pretty inspiring to see how the athletes have adjusted. And I mean, you know, right now we're just talking sort of the Olympic athletes. The world has had to adjust. Our nation has had to adjust. Sport at every level has had to adjust. But to change that Olympic cycle, when a program is not year by year, it's quadrennial. So, you know, the physiologists make an athlete's program looking at 4 years ahead. So very proud of Canada for being the country to first say health and safety of our athletes is number one priority. So last year, 2020, they said, we're not going. And that was supported by all the athletes, and all the other countries followed. So now we're about 6 months out. And yes, it's for summer athletes, very tough, because, you know, they're training with the focus of the games, but there's a bit of a question mark for them. You know, do we look ahead? Is this going to happen? And so, you know, there's a huge team of people with the Canadian Olympic Committee and the Canadian Paralympic Committee who are working behind the scenes saying, hey, you guys just focus on what you can control, and we'll deal with the rest. So, you know, knowing that there's such a great group, there's a great leadership group, that gives confidence to the athletes.
Well, can you talk a little bit about the impact this could have and maybe continued challenges too on athlete funding? Because you always hear those stories where an athlete might say, you know, the year before the Olympics, I got a whole bunch of sponsors on board and then I won a medal and I was the talk of the town for 2 or 3 weeks after the Olympics. And then the sponsorship and the attention maybe died down or flat out went away for a while. So having an Olympics postponed too, that can't help that situation.
Well, you know, when we start looking at funding for sport, again, it funnels. I work for Sport Calgary. We're talking community sport and, working a lot with the Edmonton Sport Council as well. I mean, it's tough for all levels of sport because not only was Alberta in a tough economic situation before the pandemic, then the pandemic has thrown everybody into a worse financial situation. So yeah, it's tough. It's tough for funding from national sport organizations, provincial sport organizations, local sport, and also for athletes. They've had to adjust. They've had to figure out, how to get workout and gym equipment in their homes. When it first hit last spring for the winter sports, they were starting their dry land training. So, if you take speed skaters, for example, they were starting their long rides, long runs. So their training at that time wasn't as affected as perhaps some of the summer sports. But then you start looking at when this last lockdown happened and, all of their training facilities were taken away. And so with the CSI in Calgary out at Winsport, a lot of their training equipment athletes could take to their homes, but it just depends where they live as well. So it's been an adjustment. It's tough for everybody financially. I mean, and that just adds the stress. And I'm going to tell you, as an athlete, you're already trying to sort of focus on so many little minute details to perfect yourself, to be ready. That it's for sure added to that level of stress and then the financial part as well. But, as we talk about preparation and I talked about the summer athletes, it's pretty neat to see right now, most of them are in Europe. A lot of the winter sports are competing in these bubbles and the bubbles are working right now. And we're getting great results. And it's pretty cool to see how they've adjusted and then how they've sort of come into these big competitions and it's like, okay, you guys, we might not have been having as much facility training as you guys, but we're still kicking butt.
Yeah, that's great to hear. And I want to talk about your role coming up for 2022 Beijing as well, but along the lines sort of your process, your trajectory as an athlete, I'm going to put it to you this way. It might sound silly, but I think you're going to know what I mean. You were always Katrina LeMay Doan, but when did you become Katrina LeMay Doan, right? Where people know who you are, fans know who you are, sponsors know who you are. Was it like, I mean, did you have to win a gold medal for it to happen or was it building before that?
It depends what country you're talking about. In Holland, it's their national sport. Actually, when I had my daughter, it was on their national news. So I was... I had a name in sport long before I ever did in Canada, but, North Americans watch the Olympics. They watch the games for 17 days and then they watch, they watch the Olympics, take a week or two break, watch the Paralympics. And so that's how we get to know our athletes. There have been some great national shows featuring the World Cups and World Championships leading up. But the reality is, that's when we sort of pay attention as a nation, which is unfortunate. But that's our choice as athletes to sort of do that. So for sure, the medals help. Now with social media, things are changing. Back when I was skating, it was just sort of the emergence of the phone. And, it was another era. So social media is definitely helping tell the athlete stories, which is great. But results help. But, to continue to be engaged in the community and engaged in what's happening, athletes they're giving back. And that's what's also great. So that also keeps sort of, people's names going because these athletes want others to experience not necessarily, high performance sport, but they want them to experience achievement in whatever they're pursuing. And so athletes are really involved in the community and I'm so proud of that.
Yeah, well said. Katrina LeMay Doan joining us on Inside Sports. And of course, you're the chef de mission for the 2022 Winter Olympics for Team Canada in Beijing. Mm-hmm. And I kind of had to shake my head a little bit because time feels so different during the pandemic, but it's like, oh, those are in a year.
I know.
So, and look, we know that we're experiencing this pandemic and how long things take and vaccines and everything like that. Are you pretty confident that those games will go ahead safely?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the key word is safely, but the COC and the CPC, again, Canadian Olympic Committee, Canadian Paralympic Committee, have the health and safety of athletes, as their number one priority. And I believe they will go ahead. It is crazy how quickly time is going. February 4th was 1 year to go. And I just posted on social media the other day, February 8th, 2002, I carried the flag into the opening ceremony. February 9th, 3 years ago, we marched into Pyeongchang opening ceremony. So it's, you know, it's crazy when you start thinking about it, but in a year we will be in Beijing. And, what I think is so great is the athletes that will be competing in Beijing, they will be the example of resilience. They will be the example of determination and integrity and overcoming. And I think the message is that sport is going to be part of the healing. We have been isolated. We're losing, the physical side, the social side, the mental health side, and sport needs to be a top priority, whether we're talking grassroots, local community sport, or whether we're talking high performance. And so that to me is what this team in Beijing in 1 year time is going to be an example of.
Can you tell us, I assume you've been to China.
I have, yeah.
It has so many different perceptions, a lot of them negative, I think, in North America. I mean, what's it like when you actually go to China, and are you comfortable with them now? Beijing's going to host twice this century already.
Yeah, they'll be the first place to host a summer and a winter, and I think they're going to do an amazing job. We've seen, in a normal year, we'd be going and checking out the village and the facilities and all that, and obviously that can't happen. But there are people who, contacts who are going and making sure that everything's ready. They've hosted great competitions, they've hosted great games, and there's a lot of controversy leading up, and I really admire the leadership of the COC and CPC coming out and saying, listen, there are various levels of government and that are discussing various things, but as organizations for leading the Canadian team to those games, there is no hesitation. The op-ed that was done just last week was well said, and just saying that, people calling for boycott, a boycott is not an answer, because the athletes are not, they're not politicians. The athletes are there to showcase Canadian values on the competition field. And so we will be there. I'm excited to be there with the team. And, the athletes are excited to represent our great nation.
All right, well said. And before I let you go, I often ask a question like this, and I hope you enjoy it. So you had an incredibly successful career, and you've gone on to great things post-competition. What would you say to that 10 or 12-year-old girl or boy who wants to be the next great speed skater, or whatever, the next great Olympian? I suppose it doesn't have to be speed skating. What do you say to those kids who are aspiring to be great athletes?
Just don't let anybody else stop them. I think the toughest thing with teens right now and youth, I have a 16 and a 14-year-old, is we often worry, and I say we because this goes into adulthood too, we often worry about what others are saying that we can and can't do. And you know what? Just follow your gut. Just put your head down, do the hard work, and follow your gut. Because there were things that I did in my career that people said weren't possible. And somebody has to be the first one to pave the way for the rest of the crew to follow. So why not be that person?
Very well said. Very well said. Thank you for doing this tonight on Inside Sports. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Enjoy connecting on Facebook Live tomorrow night. We'll let people know where they can check that out. And I hope we can have you on again, Katrina. This was an awesome chat.
Anytime. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Awesome. That's Katrina Lemay-Doan. Now, I want to tell you that Sentinel Storage has a new partnership with Team Canada. So they're having some collaboration with Canadian athletes. So an inspiring panel tomorrow night featuring Katrina, Bruni Surin, John Montgomery, Eric Weeb, and Patrick Chan. What a list of Olympic champions. Get more details on the Team Canada Facebook page. It is 7:50. Back to wrap it up after the break. Jujhar Khera, pretty slow start to the season. Out of the lineup most nights, has looked much better the last three games. Head coach Dave Tippett on how Khera can continue to contribute.
Where he's really a strong player is below the hash marks in our zone, helping our D, and below the goal line. You watch him down there. That's where he's got the most poise with the puck anywhere on the ice, he can make a good play through the middle, and he can play in the offensive zone, but his D zone coverage and his ability to read situations down low is very good. And that's, we're trying to maximize that player's strength in that position. When he was on the wall, he's down there less. As a centerman, he gets down there, he helps the D, and he does a good job of it. So he's, you're always, as a coach, you're trying to find the best place for a player to maximize his assets, and that's why we put him to center. And he's done a good job down there. And now with the line, they're not spending much time in their own end. He's down there. He breaks up a lot of plays, and with Archibald and Ennis, they've got the speed to get up the ice. So hopefully, it's the making of a good line. We'll see how it goes.
All right, we'll see how it goes tomorrow against the Canadians. 3:30 face-off show here on 6:30 Ched. Game at 5. Before that, Stauffer has Oilers Now from noon to 2. Canadians behind tonight, 3-1 to the Leafs with 5.5 to go. The Bruins knock off the Rangers 3-2 in overtime. Thanks to Dave Campbell, the producer of Inside Sports. Kellen Kennedy is your studio operator. My name's Reed. Hey, if you're playing Magic the Gathering tonight, have fun.
6:30 Ched Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 6:30 Ched.